So I want to do this morning is focus on the Haggadah, but from a different perspective than we've done in the past. As opposed to sharing Divrei Torah according to the Seder of the Haggadah, I want to actually do the opposite. I want to identify key themes that come up in the story of the Seder that we should figure out how we're going to incorporate them in our Seder. And what's important about these themes, and this is not an exhaustive list by any means, but what's important about these themes is that they have components which are their past, present, and future. There's not just one dimension for each of these aspects. Each of these aspects of the Seder, each of these themes, has a component that relates to the Jewish past, to the Jewish present, and to the Jewish future. And isn't that really what the Seder is all about? It's Vihigadat Labincha. It's taking the past, making it relevant to the future, and investing it in the, and making it relevant to the present, and investing it in the future. So these are some of the ideas. So we're going to explore each one of them. And you can think on your own how this fits into your Seder, how it fits into the Haggadah, where it makes an appearance in the Haggadah, because each one of these has a lot to say about it. The first aspect that we can talk about is the Jewish family. The past, of course, begins with Sefer Bereishis. Sefer Bereishis as Sefer HaYetzira. What is the Sefer HaYetzira? It's the creation of the Jewish family. In Sefer Shemos, we become the Jewish nation, but we only become a nation out of a family. So very much the back story, the beginnings, the introduction to the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of even getting into the Mitzrayim, is the story of the Jewish family. It's the story of the family of the Avos and the Imahos. The Gemara describes in Maseches Sota, in the Agadata, about how the Jewish family structure in Egypt was threatened, and how the Jewish women in particular, the Rashi quotes it later about the maros hatsovos that were used in the Mishkan, the mirrors that the women used. That was part of the, I guess you could call it, the spiritual and family resistance of the Jewish people. Right? In the Haggadah, it describes, in the drashos of Arami Rovi Ravi, what did they do to us? Vayareo sanu hamitzrim vayanunu. So the Chazal say, Elo Habonim, where is it? Hold on. Vayara Sonyenu Zuprishus Derecherets Vayedo Elokim. So Precious Derech Eretz means the breakdown of family life, and Elo Habanim means the children. So that was part of the struggle, was the Egyptian persecution of the Jewish family, and the Chazal, the Tachas HaTapuach, when you eat the Charoses, one of the ingredients in Charoses is a Tapuach. Some say that's an apple, others say that it's a citrus fruit based on Tosfos and Masechet Shabbos. So some people put orange juice or lemon in their Charoses. That reminds us of the struggle, the spiritual and family struggle to maintain the family structure in Mitzrayim. So there's the past element here. There's the Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we were told to bring a Sela Beis Avos, Sela Bayis. Ideally, you're supposed to eat the Korban Pesach as a family. So we start the story of the Jewish people as a family. We go down to Egypt as a family, B'Shivim Nefesh. And then as the redemption process goes, it's the Korban Pesach Sela Beis Avos. And that's certainly the present, the mitzvah Leil HaSeder is Vihigadat Labincha Bayom HaLemor. For those who have children present at their Seder, that's the primary mitzvah, to convey it to the children who are there. That's the mitzvah of Chinuch, and that's part of a larger set of mitzvahs that the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin are mitzvahs Ha'av Al HaBen, mitzvahs HaBen Al HaAv. There are responsibilities that parents have to children and children have to parents, and that's an ongoing commitment that we have. The Jewish family, that's very much so much of our identity. And then finally, of course, the concept of the future, of Jewish families in the future. It's interesting. The Gemara in Maseches Sukkot, Daf Nun Beis, quotes in a different context that we'll relate to in a minute. It quotes the idea, a pasuk in Zecharia, that there will be a hesped, la'asid lovo, after this cataclysmic event. Mishpachos, mishpachos. Families will gather together as families. And the Gemara also has in Kiddushin a reference to Eliyahu HaNavi identifying who belongs to which family. The notion of the family unit is really important in the Jewish tradition. And this is an idea that keeps coming up at the Seder, and it's refracted in different ways. And we need to make sure that we identify that, we explore it in some way. Now, some of us have talked in the past about this article that appeared a couple of years ago from the research done by some people in Emory about the impact of knowing your family's story. So the ties that bind us, I think, was the article, the Times article, that exploded all over because it showed that kids who have a greater understanding of their family story overall have a stronger family bond and do better in all kinds of social measurements later in life. So the idea of family, understanding where we come from, that's crucial for Leil HaSeder. That's theme number one. Theme number two is living values. It's interesting that when you frame the Haggadah, we start with the bad, and we end with the good. This is the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, Maschil Beginus Masayim B'Shevach. You start with bad, you end with good. Great. So where is your genus and shevach? Where is the bad and the good? I don't know. What would you say? Where does it start bad? Right. Avod mayinu lefar b'mitzrayim. That's the bad. And then, vayotzienu. God took us out. So that's one opinion of the Gemara. The Gemara says two opinions. One is, we were slaves, then we were free. The other opinion in the Gemara is, mitchila ovde avodah zara hayu avoseinu. First we were idolatrous people, and then and now God brought us close to His service. Okay? So this is what we call the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, the two different opinions about how we view the transformation from suffering to freedom, Gnus and Shevach. So how do we paskin this Machlokas? What do we do?
Both.
That's right, we do both. So I ask myself, is this a quirk of halachic history, or is this something more? Is it that we're just trying to fulfill both obligations, so you got to do Rav and Shmuel, or is there something inherent? And that is that you can't, from a Jewish perspective, you can't talk about physical freedom without talking about spiritual freedom. You can't talk about just being emancipated without talking about the set of values that goes along with it. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in one of his essays in, I think it's The Warmth, no, it's Logic of the Mind, Logic of the Heart, he talks about the difference between freedom from and freedom to. Freedom from is running away, ripping off the shackles from some kind of oppressive regime, but then what? Then there's violence and anarchy and chaos, as opposed to saying, this is not just freedom from something, this is freedom to. This is freedom to be committed to a set of ideals, to a set of values, to principles that are going to guide our life. And that's why when the Rebbe Shalom told us we're going to go out, he says, you're going to go out and then don't worry. It's not freedom from, it's freedom to. We become Avdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu after being Avdei Paro. So some people look at this, they say, oh, what kind of Avdus? You got one Avdus, you traded for another. But the answer is that we are now free people and that we are connected to our spiritual destiny. We are connected to our neshamas on a deep level when we got rid of Paro, who was holding us back all this time. So in that respect, in the idea of freedom too, the genus and shevach of the physical and the spiritual go together. Because if we only had the physical redemption, then we would be, I don't know, vagabonds. We'd be free people, but we'd be running amok. People would be killing each other. There wouldn't be a shared vision. There wouldn't be a shared collective goal. So actually, perhaps the pshat is that Maschil B'Genus and Masayim B'Shevach has to go hand in hand. It can't just be spiritual, because we can't accomplish what the Ratzon Hashem is. Hashem doesn't want us to be spiritual. That's not the end game in the exile. We have to be ultimately in our homeland, building a country, building a life, a national life that is an Or LaGoyim. So there is an element of Avodah Mayinu L'Parah B'Mitzrayim V'Yotzeinu, we got to go back to Israel. But if it's just that, if it doesn't have the values that goes with it, so then we're missing out. That, I think, is so true for the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that we need that structure, those values, and it relates to the past, the present, and the future of our people. So we start with Avraham HaIvri. It's interesting that in the Haggadah we make mention of the fact that he came from Terach. We're not ashamed that he grew up in an idolatrous background. And we tell you he was Ivri, he was on the other side. Because his values were so important to Avraham Avinu, his belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam, the ethical monotheism, that he was willing to speak out against everybody. He was willing to throw into the fiery furnace against Nimrod. Why? Because he believed in these values. It was freedom too. He believed, he was committed to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it was difficult. Va'ekach asavichem, he comes from Eivor HaNar. Rav Moshe Stav, my Rebbe from Karim Yavne, once gave a great mashal. When I was in Israel this past month, so I went to visit my Rebbe. I told him, I'm not sure what it says about him or me, but I started in his shir 20 years ago. Mm. And I'm not even that old. So he lives in Harnov, he lives on 20 Mishkalov. I didn't have to look it up. He lives on 20 Mishkalov. I knew this. I've been to his house many times. I went there when I was in Israel. I went there for the Seder. It was amazing. So my Rebbe lives at 20 Mishkalov, Moshe Stav. Imagine I'm walking in Harnov, and as the case, of course, I always, let's say I'm driving somewhere, I don't know, I'm going to Lincolnwood to somebody's address, I either write it down before or I take the Achenu, because by the time I got to the car, I already forgot the address. I'm going, so I write it down. I write down on a piece of paper where I'm going to Monticello, let's say. I write it down exactly where I'm going. So by the time I hit Maine, I've forgotten, but I have my paper. It says Monticello, exactly the address I'm going. I get down to Monticello, and I park my car, and I see people walking on the street. All kinds of people walk on the street. So I said, do you know where the Gottesons live? They say, yeah, they live at 65-something-something Monticello. I said, but my paper says 66-something, right? So I asked the first person. They say, no, it's 6525 Monticello. So the first person, I say, they must be mistaken. I have it written down, 6650. But then, imagine if I bump into 50 people on the street. 50. And some of them are really bright. Some of them live in Lincolnwood. Some of them know the Gottesmans. Every single person tells me they live on the 6500 block. So then I start to worry. Maybe I wrote it down wrong. Maybe the Achena was wrong. Imagine this now. Take this mashal and multiply it. Because Avraham Avinu is going around the whole world and he says to them, on my paper it says there's one God. Everybody else says, you totally got the wrong address. There are many gods. And we all know there are many gods. Every person he says on the street says, you have the wrong address. You think you're going to 20 Mishkalov? It's not 20 Mishkalov. It's 20 Chai Tab. You're on the wrong street in Harnov. He keeps telling everybody, I'm telling you there's one God. They keep telling him no. And yet Avraham Avinu sticks to that conviction. And that's Ve'ekach HaSavichem. That's the pasuk that we quote. So we have to stay true to our values. That's our past. Even if it meant, according to the Medrash, smashing the idols. Even if it means that everybody else is telling us that we're crazy. I have to say this, because my conscience disturbs me. Some of you may not like this idea, but I feel like I have to comment. We have a vice president of this country. His name is Mike Pence. So apparently, there was a recent revelation that 20 years ago, Mike Pence was interviewed, and he told the person who interviewed him that he doesn't have dinner alone with another woman, and he doesn't go to an event where they're serving alcohol when his wife is not there. That's what he said. For the last week, this man has been assaulted online, tarred and feathered and lambasted by every corner of whatever digital world we live in. Now, some of the questions are good questions. So, you know, someone says, well, if it was a woman, could they do the same thing? What does this mean for women? Is he only interested in looking at women? Like, Allah Zachen, every kind of thing. And of course, there are always perspectives about this. It doesn't say that he mandates that every woman in his house wear a burqa. It doesn't say he won't speak to women. I didn't ask if he would shake hands with women. That's a Shiloh. Everybody has that Shiloh. You shake hands with, you don't, the dead fish handshake, the not, I don't know what he paskins on that Shiloh about the handshaking. But the way that, not everybody, but the way that so many people in society today have come out without understanding that what he's doing in his mind, it's not some kind of extreme, crazy, insane, ridiculous behavior, at least by my standards. It seems eminently reasonable. He doesn't say he won't meet with women. He says he won't go to dinner with a woman alone. I'm married with 5 children. I can understand why that makes sense. And that doesn't mean that every time he's talking to a woman, he's worried about, you know, who knows what. It's just setting up some reasonable parameters. But in today's day, that's not okay. That's not okay. The values at large, not everywhere, but in many places, say that's not acceptable. That's not okay. We have to realize that the, you know, and for us, by the way, it's more of a challenge than for others, because other communities say everything out there, it's black and white, it's treif, it's us, they close the door and throw it away. So it makes it easier. You just automatically write it all off. But for us who are navigating this world, so we have a complicated story, because on the one hand, we want to find what's valuable out there. On the other hand, when we see something like this, that's what the current, and this is just one example of many issues that we know that are going on in society today, we have to say, wait a second, we have a Seder where, it's actually an interesting Shaila in Halacha about inviting non-Jews to the Seder because it's a Yontif meal, Yontif is different than Shabbos, there's a lot of complications about that. There are different views in the Poskim, many people are lenient. But at the end of the day, it's about getting together with our family and closing the door and saying, these are the values that we celebrate. Avraham Avinu was prepared to stand up to the whole society and say, we don't accept that. Our family is going to do it different. I don't have to tell you what to do. You know, there's a debate whether or not we should regulate what goes on in the public square, what they should say, what they should do. I don't have to get involved in that. What I have to do at my Seder table is sit down with my family and say, our family, this is what we do. I don't have to talk about anybody else. I don't have to criticize anybody else. I don't have to address anybody else. I have to worry about myself. We have to worry about the values of our family, and the Seder in that regard is more important than ever before, because the shifting sands under our feet, socially and culturally, are more challenging than ever. So the Rogatchover has a letter. The Rogatchover has a letter in a different context. He says, you want to bring the Mashiach? He says, let's worry about Torah and Mitzvahs. We'll do Torah and Mitzvahs, that'll bring the Geula. And so focusing on Jewish values and using that not just as the bedrock for our past and the charge for our present, but also thinking about that as, of course, the obvious stepping stone for the future. That's something we need to talk about at the Seder. These are the values that our family holds dear. This is what came to us from Sinai. This is what our parents taught us. This is what our rabbis taught us. These are important things to us. Whether or not everybody else in the world believes them or not, it does not matter, because these things are important to us. That needs to be said. We have values. Those values are part of the story of the Seder. That's number two. Number three is Talmud Torah. So what I'm going to share with you now is something that you can download on your own. I'm going to share it so we can all listen to it together. But this speaks to exactly what we're talking about as the past, the present, and the future. We're going to engage on the Seder night in a unique opportunity for Talmud Torah, which is often underappreciated or overlooked, and that's the section of Tseu Lamad, where we have 4 psukim of Torah Shebichsav, the written text from the beginning of Parshas Kisavo, and each one of those pieces is amplified through Torah Shebal Peh. So you have a pasuk, Vayarami Dovid Avi, Vayered Mitzrayma, Vayogar Sham, Bimseima'at Vayisham Legoy Gadol Atzum Varav. That's the verse. Then you have a medrash. The medrash is going to unpack it. Vayered Mitzrayma, explanation. Vayogar Sham, explanation. This is traditional Torah Shebal Peh. This medrash that we're going to learn on the Seder night is the same medrash that was studied by the Baal HaGemara, and the same medrash that was studied by the Rishonim and by the Achronim and our great grandparents. Wherever they lived, we're going to study the same medrash from almost 2,000 years. So in this context, I'm going to share with you the following audio, which I will give you the description of later. Some of you are familiar with it. This is 9 minutes. We're not going to share the whole thing. But it's a description of someone, how he gives a shiur. Can there be a dialogue between the old teacher and the young student? Between a Rebbe who is in the autumn of his life and the Talmidim who are in the spring of their life. I start the shiur. When I start the shiur, the door opens, another old man walks in. He's talking about himself. The great-grandfather of the Rav walks in.
You think without him there's no shiur?
Then the door opens quietly again, and another old man comes in. He's older than Reb Chaim.
Another man comes in, he's older than Reb Chaim, who is the great-grandfather.
What's his name? Shabsai Cohen.
Shabsai Cohen, the Shach, 17th century.
Must be present when Dini Mominus are discussing.
He must be discussing Dini Mominus, Choshen Mishpat. The Shach has to be there.
And then more visitors show up. Some of the visitors lived in the 11th century, some in the 12th century. Some in the 13th century. Some lived in antiquity. Rabbi Akiva, Rashi, Rabbi Nathan, the Rambam, the Rashba. More and more tapir coming.
He's listing all the Rishonim who come into his class in YU. I introduce them to my pupils, he says.
The Rambam says something, the Rav disagrees. Sometimes he's very nasty.
The Rav disagrees, and sometimes he's very nasty, the Rav says.
Very sharp.
Very sharp.
The boy jumps up to defend the Rambam against the Rav. When the boy is fresh, you know, he's very sharp.
A boy jumps up to defend the Rambam, and the boy is fresh. You know, young boys are very fresh. The Rav says he uses improper correct language, so I correct him.
Another boy jumps up with a new idea. The Rashba smiles gently. I try to analyze what the young boy meant. Another boy intervenes. We call upon the Rabbi Natan to express his opinion. And suddenly, a symposium of generations comes into existence. Generations!
A symposium of generations comes into existence.
My boys are just 80 years old, I'm in my class. One generation, then my generation, then the generation of a prime minister, then the generation of the Shah, then the generation of the Rashba, the Rambam, the generation of the Rambam, generation of Rashi, the generation of the Rabbi Natan, and then I mean there's no end. What's about Rav Haibel? What's about Rav Akiva? Rav Elazar? Rav Yechon Nezaka? All generations somehow. We all speak one language. Batikol Oretz, Sofa Achas, Dvorim Achodim. We all chat, we all laugh, we all enjoy the company, and we all pursue one goal. We all are committed to a common vision.
So this was a talk delivered at the Karasik Pidyon HaBen in 1974 in New York, where Rav Soloveitchik had been invited just as a friend of their family. They didn't plan for him to speak, and apparently he spoke for a half hour, and somebody had the brilliance to record this talk. And this is a 9-minute clip which has become like historic. the symposium of generations, the Masorah. And Rav Soloveitchik describes when he walks into the class how he's an old man, and he says, you have to be my age to understand what it means to be old. And he says he feels, you know, a lack of energy, and he's depressed. He looks at the young boys, and through the shiur, he feels invigorated through the symposium of generations. This is what Talmud Torah is about. This is the idea of the fusion of the past, the present, and the future. And that's perhaps why at the Seder, Talmud Torah plays a big role. V'yigadat al-Labincha ultimately is an expression of Talmud Torah. And that's going to take different forms for the Ben HaChacham and the Ben HaRasha, and especially with She'eni Yodei Lishol. Whether that the She'eni Yodei Lishol is that way because he doesn't know what to ask, it's because he's so apathetic he doesn't care to ask, or he's so far removed that he doesn't even know how to formulate the question. But each one of those four sons is now engaged in the symposium of generations. Engaged in the Talmud Torah, the same Medrash, the same Arami Dovi Ravi, that has been poured over by Mefarshei HaHagadah for literally hundreds of years. The same Medrash that the Rav himself studied, we're going to study at our Seder. And making sure that we can appreciate that that aspect of our life, the Talmud Torah, that we have every Sunday morning, we're blessed, we come together to spend time for Talmud Torah, it's the same sugyas that have been dealt with for two millennia and longer. That's an important piece of our Haggadah. Let's keep talking. The next, the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the story of the Exodus. So here also you have an important... Yes?
I know the Medrash is older, but when was the Haggadah finalized?
It's a great question. So the answer to that question, I don't know if there is a definitive end to the Haggadah. There also is a difference between Sephardim and Ashkenazim, because a lot in the Middle Ages, a lot of piyutim, like the Nirtza piyutim, were added to the Ashkenazi Haggadahs, which I do not believe exist in the Sephardic Haggadahs. So it seems like over time, the best place to look for this, by the way, is in the Haggadah of Rav Mendel Kasher, the Torah Shlema Haggadah, where he's an encyclopedic figure in general in his study, but he puts together a lot of different historical Haggadahs to try to answer that question. What was the Haggadah that they had in the Gemara? What was the Haggadah they had at the time of the Gaonim? The Rambam gives you the full text of his Haggadah, if you look in the 8th parak of the Rambam. So over time, the Haggadah was compiled, and it took different forms. The other thing that's interesting is that some of this is a function of different machlokos. So for example, the Rambam's opinion changed between his Pirush HaMishnayos and his Yad HaChazaka as to whether or not you make a bracha and eat charoses. So it sounds like at one point in the Rambam's life, he thought that the charoses was a tafel. So if you open the Rambam's Haggadah, at one point, you didn't have a bracha and charoses. And then at a different point, the Rambam changed his opinion, and he thinks you have a mitzvah achilas kezayis of charoses. It's two opinions in the Gemara. It's not clear how to paskin. So I think over the generations, at least it coalesced in the later period of the Rishonim, and then even over those years, difference between Sfarad and Ashkenaz. So there are a couple of historical, I'm sure there are, like, if you go in some of the academic works, they look at precise, but even in halachic, traditional halachic works, you can see the development. He has, I think, in Rav Kasher's Haggadah, he has an edition of the Gaonim's Haggadah, and then you look at the Rambam's Haggadah, and you see the similarities. Already in the time of the Gemara, they had some form, but it was an argument. Rav and Shmuel, they didn't, you know, it was Maskev Gnosim Sam Meshavach, was more organic. So it's an interesting question. Yetzias Mitzrayim, the story of the Exodus. Here also, you could talk about a past, present, and future. Very important. There is a comment of the Smak. The Smak is the Sefer Mitzvos Katan, one of the important Bali HaTosfos, 13th century in France, who collects the number of mitzvos. You know, this was a popular thing to do in the time of the Rishonim. How many mitzvos are there? What makes the 613 cut? So there's the Sefer Mitzvos Katan, and then there's the Hagos, the Smak, the Smak, the Rimi Korvayal. So in the first mitzvah, he quotes the mitzvah of Emunah Hashem. We have a belief in God. So based on what do we believe in God? We have the belief, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Otzisicha, Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So I am Hashem your God who took you out of Egypt. Why doesn't it say, I am Hashem your God who created the world? So it's easy. Nobody was there when God created the world. So how are you going to know? You have to say, Asher Otzisicha, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, because then we have a tradition. And we can count that tradition. You can go, there's a website, it's called simpletoremember.com. I didn't check the history of it, but you can plug in your Rebbe, so you know, my Rebbe, my Rabbeim, Rav Schwartz, Shlita, Shever, Fu, Shlema, Lichtenstein, Lahavdel, Ben Chaim, Lachaim, and Rav Shechter, Shlita, their Rebbe was Rav Soloveitchik, whose Rebbe was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, to Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and you can go all the way back, non-stop, from this gathering right here, to Moshe Rabbeinu. Uninterrupted, chain of Masorah.
What's the name of it again?
SimpleToRemember.com, I think, is the website.
Yes.
Simple to Remember.
Yeah. So if we plug you in,
yes.
Oh, not on there, but you plug in. I could forward you. I did it for myself. You know, once you get to Rav Soloveitchik, you get to Volozhin, which most of us can trace ourselves to Volozhin if you studied in a yeshiva. Most yeshivas, except for me, are, let's say, Tells, Lakewood, YU, Merkas Harav, Ner Yisrael. You know, Chavetz Chaim, Shara Torah, you can all trace yourself to Volozhin. Once you got to Volozhin, you're home free.
How That's many easy. Pages is this website?
It's a website. It's, sure you can make it on one page. I can Xerox, I can email it out to you. Anyway, so you need to write on Okeh Hashem Elokecha, Asher Otzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim, because you can trace it. It's not just Stama, it's not Stama fairy tale. We tell our kids, we go back to Moshe Tzinai. We have a tradition. We go directly back. No problem. So Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. That's the past. But you know, there is also a shiloh that they ask you after 120 years. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, Tzipisa li Yeshua. Did you look forward to the redemption? And you know who was one of the biggest champions of Tzipisa li Yeshua was the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim wrote a whole kuntres, Tzipisa li Yeshua. Are we waiting? Are we serious about this? Do we really anticipate the Mashiach? So people ask, well, where does it say? Where's the mitzvah? Well, how are they going to ask us after 120 years? So the Smach says something amazing. He says, you know, part of the mitzvah of Emunah in Hashem, of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Otzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim, is that this process of exile and redemption, the exodus that took place back then, part of the Emunah is that that will happen again. You know where the mitzvah of Tzipisa Li Yeshua is? The mitzvah to anticipate the redemption? It's part of the mitzvah of believing in God who took us out of Egypt. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, includes the mitzvah of Tzipisa Li Yeshua. So what that means is that the story of the Exodus is all three. It's the past because it happened, it's the present because we're retelling it now, but it's also the future because that is the basis on which we believe that Hashem can and will redeem us again. So when we talk about the Geula at our Seder, we're not just talking about a historical Geula. We're not just talking about an exodus that happened once. It's an exodus that'll happen again.
Another 40
past,
years also?
Present and future. We don't know exactly when it is. People have tried to calculate. But we know that it's going to be close.
I mean, post-exodus, are we going to do another 40 years of wandering
no.
in the Midbar? Okay.
Ramban says on Chumash, there are only two Churbanos. That's part of the reason that many of us, that Rav Shechter Shalita points out that we say Reishis Smichas Gula Sein about the state of Israel, because the Ramban says there can only be two destructions. There's one in Vayikra, there's one in Devarim. After that, no more destruction. It's a Haftacha. So now that we've had 50 years of Yerushalayim, we've had since 1948, we've had since the 1880s settlement, so that's irrevocable. That's the Pa'amei HaGeula. Okay. Let's move on. Beis HaMikdash. Here too, major focus of our Seder. If you look at the Netziv's Haggadah, Imre Shefer, beautiful Haggadah, the Netziv has an essay about how so many of the things that we do at the Seder are supposed to remind us of life in the Beis HaMikdash. Some suggest that the reason we wear a kittel is to remind you of the Big Day Kahuna. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he wasn't a Kohen, he wore a chaluk lavan. I think the Medrash says he wore a white garment, like a jacket, looked like a kittel, to work during the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, and then on the first day. One of the reasons that we wash our hands when we eat the dipped vegetable, it's a machlokas, we had a discussion in the house last week. It's a machlokas achronim, whether today we're makbid to wash your hands on a davar shetibula b'mashke. Meaning, I take grapes, I wash them in the sink, they're still wet. So some achronim say you're supposed to wash your hands, because in the old days, Kohanim had to always wash their hands for wet foods because of tumas yadayim. But most of us are not makbid on this year-round. We don't wash our hands when we eat davar shetibula b'mashke. But at the Seder we are, because in the Beis HaMikdash they were. Because Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash were very careful about washing their hands before they ate the davar shetibula b'mashke, the item that was dipped in the water, because of tumas yadayim, because they were going to eat truma and kachim. So there are a lot of things that we do on the night of the Seder that remind us, says the Nitziv, about the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Beis HaMikdash has the same thing. It's got the past. Of course, that's what we say, Zecher LeMikdash Kehillel. Right? Kein Osa Hillel B'smach Beis HaMikdash Kain. And that's one example of something that we do so many times in our lives. Zecher LeMikdash, we take the Lulav 7 days. And there's, by the way, there's differences between Zecher LeMikdash and Zecher LeChurban. When you build a house, and you put the new walls up, you leave a place, that's Zecher LeChurban, but then, you know, at a wedding. But then there's a lot of things that's Zecher LeMikdash, not for the destruction, just for the celebration of the Beis HaMikdash. We're always remembering the Beis HaMikdash. That's our past. It's also in our present. Every day in davening, we say Korbanos. Korbanos is like a Neshama Fanus Faseinu, Parnus Faseinu. That's like our personal service in the Beis HaMikdash today. That's why the Chavetz Chaim was very into the idea, Tzipisi Lishu was very into the idea of learning Kachim. But it's also of the future. We believe, Animam ben Muna Shalema, that there will be a Mashiach with a Binyan Beis HaMikdash and the Seder Avoda. That's what we say every time we bring a Karban Mosaf. Giratz Shitalinu B'Simcha L'Artzeinu, V'Sham Nas L'Vanechas, Karbanos Chalfoseinu. We'll return to the Avodas HaKarbanos. Do we understand what Avodas HaKarbanos means? Most of us don't really get that. Most of us, if we went to a slaughterhouse, would find it off-putting. But that's because we don't have Avodas HaKarbanos, which is a spiritual activity, that if we had that spiritual sensitivity, we looked at it with spiritual glasses, we would have a different experience. We just don't appreciate it, and we need to recognize that we don't appreciate it. And not to say, oh, it's disgusting and it's antiquated and we should do away with it. It's that we need to get that sensitivity, we need to understand it. So it's the past, it's the present, and of course, that's the future, looking toward the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. If you look at the 15 steps of Dayenu, what's the end goal? Ilo Hotzianu Mimitzrayim, and then the next, and then the next, and the next, and the next. What's the last step of Dayenu? That's it. Bon Alonu is Beis HaBechira. That's the last step in the process. It's not enough to go back to Israel. It's not enough to have just a Jewish army. It's not enough just to have a Jewish state. It's not enough just to have yeshivas. We need to have a Beis HaMikdash.
Except when you say Dayenu, we say it would have been enough.
Oh, so there's a great part about this, by the way. Important to, we're going to digress from the regularly scheduled shiur just to make this one point, because I can't tell myself it's important hara. What does it mean? Ilu kervanu lufne har Sinai v'lo nasan lanu asatora. Is that serious? Would it really have been enough to bring us to Sinai and say, okay, shkoyach, it was a good experience. We had Achdus. You know the famous word, Vayichan Sham Yisrael. We all had Achdus. Achdus is great. So now we're going to go home. No, it would not have been enough. But you know what the pshat is? It would have been enough to say thank you. That's the pshat in Dayenu. Right? Ilu had HaKadosh Baruch Hu taken us of Egypt and not crossed the Red Sea, Reed Sea. Would that have been enough? Of course it wouldn't have been enough. We would have still been in Egypt. But it would have been enough to say thank you. It would have been enough to say thank you for bringing us. Because what we're saying at Dayenu is that we're appreciating all the things that Ribbono Shel Olam did for us. Of course, it wouldn't have been enough till he brought us to the Beis HaMikdash. That's why there's an unbelievable, wild Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel who says that in Egypt, the night of Mitzrayim, God actually took us out of Egypt that night, brought us to Yerushalayim, where we offered the Karban Pesach, and then brought us back right away. Transported, you know, sci-fi style. That's what the Targum Yonasan says. What is the Targum Yonasan trying to say? Is he trying to say that that's historically what happened? Or is he saying, if you want to understand Geula, if you want to know what the real Karban Pesach is, you have to be at the Beis HaMikdash. So, every step in Dayenu is to say, you know, thanks a lot. It's like all the things that our parents did for us. Would it have been enough for our parents to make our lunch and not take us to school? No, we had to get to school. But we thank them for schlepping us and making the this and doing that. Dayenu was about thank you.
Who says this?
I don't know. It's great for it.
It's great.
In the Svar Makadoshim. It's not mine.
I heard it from somebody.
The Svar Makadoshim say this word. Great.
But the Pshat doesn't seem to say that.
Yeah, but the Pshat can't be the Pshat. This is the real Pshat.
Yeah.
Right? And what does it mean? Would have been enough. So you're right. You could say...
Would have been enough. We would have appreciated even that.
Right. That's my point.
It wouldn't have been where we wanted to stop, but we would have appreciated it.
That's my point.
It's enough to say thank you,
even though for the Rebbe Shlomo's plan, that was not obvious. That's not enough. Of course, we got out of Mitzrayim, we had to get the Torah. Without getting the Torah, there was no Exodus. There's no, Vayhi Bayom, what does it say? The Pasuk says, Yom HaShishi. Why is it Yom HaShishi? So Rashi says, we've been waiting all of creation until HaShishi when we get the Torah, the sixth. So it means the whole point of Brias HaOlam was for us to get the Torah. So of course, but that's the point. It would have been enough to say thank you. It would have been enough to appreciate we got to this level, even though of course the journey is going to take longer. So the point of this, I'm just going to, we're short on time. The point of this is to say that the end of that process has to be Bono Lono Es Beis HaBechira. We have to be always keeping our eyes on the prize. What's going to be the future? What's going to be the Binyan Beis HaMikdash? Okay, next. Emuna. I want to talk, let's cover just a couple more points. Emuna. Avraham Avinu, of course, is in the Haggadah. That's the past. But we are built on Emuna. Two kinds of Emuna. Emuna Pshuta, but also Emuna Sichlis. Avraham Avinu was, on the one hand, a great philosopher. And there are different ways. There's a medrash about Avraham and the burning building, not for today. How Avraham came to recognize the Rabbono Shalom on his own through his own mind, but also the simple faithfulness of being willing to sacrifice his son. And that went against all of the rational cheshbonos. So Avraham Avinu is the Isha Emuna, is the Amuda Emuna. So that's our past. And of course the Emuna, and some, we've talked about this years ago, so I don't want to rehash and don't want to take the time now, but the Emuna of the Jews in Egypt to bring the Korban Pesach. Because if you're going to take the Egyptian god 4 days before and tell all your Egyptian neighbors that in 4 days we're going to barbecue this animal, splash the blood on the doorposts, and don't worry, nothing's going to happen because the next day we're leaving. Don't worry, we're leaving. That took unbelievable emuna. And of course, the future. When we say that we have a future, that's because we have emuna. Ani mamim be'emuna shleim. It's always the emuna that the Ribbono Shel Olam, he took us out, right? Goal Yisrael is in the past, and then v'noma lefanav shira chadasha. We have emuna that the Ribbono Shel Olam will redeem us again. So it's all three levels. It's the past, it's the present, and it's the future. It's the past. You look at, in years past, if you remember 1 year we did like in the social hall, we did that, the Holocaust Haggadah. You see these people, your hands shake, you tremble in the presence of the Holocaust Haggadah. You tremble. The emuna is mamash lo shayach. That's the emuna that's in the past, and that's the emuna that we need to cultivate and pass on to the future generations. That emuna. You know, the whole night is about emuna. It's about emuna and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and emuna on a personal level. Avraham Avinu knew he had a relationship with God. The Jews who left Egypt, they had a finger relationship. Etzba Elokimhi, the Ribbono Shel Olam said to me, I'll take you out. He literally tapped you on the shoulder. I'm gonna take your house and protect you. So we also need to feel that. We, our souls, each one of us, has a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have that future emuna as well. Hashem's love for us. I guess the truth is, it's related to this. In the past, right, Olam Chesed Yibana, the Ribbono Shel Olam built the world. Why does the world exist? Because he wants to give all the inhabitants, Jews and non-Jews, he wants us to give a schar. He doesn't want us to get nama de kisufa, that we should come to the next world and get free handouts. He wants us to earn it. He wants to earn our keep. Before you say Goal Yisrael every single morning, you say another bracha. What's that? Ava Rabba or Ava Solom. The baseline of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is based on his love for us. The word Pesach, Rashi quotes different interpretations. Ufasachti, one interpretation Rashi quotes is, V'chamalti, I have chemla for you. I have concern, love, compassion for you. That's Rav Kook has a beautiful vort. He says the word Pesach, and when Eliyahu Navi gives the Jewish people serious musar, and he says to them, you guys are worshipping God and worshipping the Baal. So he says, Ad basai atem puschim, Al Shnei HaSeifim. What does it mean, Poschim Al Shnei HaSeifim? It means you're holding both sides of the rope. You're holding on to it. So Rav Kook says, Vis Ufasach, it means the Ribbono Shel Olam, he didn't skip over our houses. It means he hugged our houses. He held on to us. Ufasach, it means like Poschim Al Shnei HaSeifim, to hold on to.
Where is this from?
I heard the name of Rav Kook. Ufasach, like from Poschim Al Shnei HaSeifim. That's the love. That's the idea of the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us. Why is it about a bias? Because what does every child needs? They need a safe place to grow up. Rahman al-Islam, what are we facing today in society? A terrible crisis. That there are children out there in the world, Rachmana Litzlan, it should break our heart, whether it's in Syria or in the south side of Chicago or other places, some of them even closer to home, where there are children who grow up without a bias, celibate avos, without a house where they feel secure. You notice that the Rabbonu Shel Olam, the way he started our journey as a nation, he says, here's what you're going to have. We're going to have a house where you feel safe. Right? My son Chaim, who goes to this Madregos program, where they talk about different, you know, safe things growing up. Today it's a challenging thing. It's crazy. We live in a crazy world. The first thing kids need, they need a safe place at home. They need to be safe. Then they need love and warmth. That's the Rabbonu Shel Olam model for us at the first Seder. He said, stay inside. Trust me, I will keep you safe. This is where we're going to get our relationship started. You'll be safe. You'll be warm. Your parent, I'm your parent. I will take care of you. Va'at Erem Ve'eria, the Haggadah says, we were like a neglected child, lost on the street. The Rabbonu Shel Olam says, come home, I will give you a home. I will take care of you. I will give you a safe, loving, nurturing environment. The Rabbonu Shel Olam loved us then, and he loves us now. Maybe that's why at the end of the Seder we say Shir HaShirim, because it's about that loving relationship, not so much this time as a parent, but as a spouse, which in certain sense is even greater Kiddush, because the Kiviyachol saying we're on the same level with God, just like spouses are on the same level, so we're on the same level. It's a great Kiddush about Judaism, that we are Kiviyachol partners with God. And even on a future level, this is, I forgot which, maybe it was in the Ger Chassidish Haggadah that I saw this great vort. You know, sometimes when you have a relationship with someone, whether it's a good friend or a spouse, once in a while, let's say on an anniversary, you think back, you remember the old days. Like you'll say, you know, on your 20th anniversary of when you knew each other or something, you think about the old days. You remember when we did this or we went there, you know, our first basketball game we went to, or the first time we drove a car, when without a license, with a license, whatever it is. So you reminisce about a relationship. So I saw in one of the Sfarim, I never saw it until this year, great vort. Anoche Hashem Elokecha asher rotzei sicha meretz Mitzrayim. The Rabbonu Shel Olam is mazkir yitzias Mitzrayim. We have a mitzvah of sipur yitzias Mitzrayim, and so does he, kiviyachol. So every year on the Seder nights, he sits with us, he says, oh, remember those days when we left? It was so crazy, the station wagon was packed with all these Jews, and we had a whole night to get everybody together with the matzah. You know, in our family, we still, and I told my own kids, when we used to go on family vacations, and my mother, was, she lived and be well, was very meticulous about our food, family, very makbid about food. You know, you can't go anywhere. Aray Mazeh, if you ever travel with me, I'm very makbid. Don't travel without food. You never know, you might get delayed. Things happen. You always have travel with food. So one year, my mother, she cut up all the fruit, you know, the cantaloupe and the Tupperware, the whole thing. But when we left the driveway, someone accidentally left the open Tupperware on the top of the car. So we pulled out, right out of the driveway, and there goes the Tupperware with all the fruit all over the driveway. So we still remember this many years later. Now, Baruch Hashem, we have our own children, but with my parents, we still talk about how we went on the family vacation, the Tupperware with the fruit. That's what the Rabbonu Shel Olam does in the night of the Seder. He's sitting around with the angel, he says, ah, remember the kids when we went from Egypt with the fruit, with the matzah, with the olah sachin. That's the relationship that we have with the Borei Olam. He's talking about Asher Otzi Sicha Meretz Mitzrayim. I never saw that until this year. What a beautiful idea. He's reminiscing the same time. We're all reminiscing about the same old story. That's the Ava. That's the love. And that will bring us to the last two points. The storytelling point. Also in the past, Zeh Sefer Toldos HaAdam. Zeh Sefer Toldos HaAdam. There is a book. There is a story. It's a Sefer. It's a book that tells a story. It tells a story from Adam Arishon, from the past, until Bias Gold Tzedek Meher V'Yamenu. And everybody has a place in that story. So we are telling a story that's a personal story, a national story, and a story of humanity. That story is unfolding in every generation. So when we sit down to the Seder, we need to remember that we're part of a very big story. That we're part of a story on a nuclear family level. This is our family story. But that family story is part of the Sefer Toldos HaAdam, that the Rabbonu Shel Olam is guiding the history. So we say Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're telling the story of the Exodus, we're telling a story that transcends time. It goes beyond the boundaries of time. I mentioned this last week for some, I'll just repeat it, because it's very fascinating. Rabbi Sachs, Rabbi Jonathan Sachs from the former chief rabbi of the Commonwealth, he tells us amazing insight about music in his, someone sent it to me from his Parsha Divrei Torah Covenant conversation from Parsha Sazinu, about the idea of song. He tells the, he read a book by a fellow by the name of Oliver Sacks, no relation, about a musicologist who, you saw this article, this musicologist who, this, I forget his name, I have it written down somewhere, who unfortunately had a brain injury, so he lost all of his memory. And every moment was literally like new, Rachmana Litzlan. So he was holding a chocolate bar, and it was like, oh, I just got a new chocolate bar. Rachmana Litzlan, imagine what a terrifying, horrible life that would be. So he describes how there were two things that would break this. One was the love of his wife that would move him out of that, and the second was music. And that this guy was able to conduct an orchestra while not being able to remember that he held a chocolate bar in his hand 3 seconds earlier. So he develops this idea, and Rabbi Sacks amplifies it, that music creates a bond over generations. That it's transcendent. There's a past, there's a present, there's a future. It's all integrated. That's the theme of this morning's, all these Divrei Torah. It's all about past, present, and future. So that's so much about the story. The story, telling the story, HaKalam Marba HaReza Meshubach, is because it has the past, the present, and the future. And finally, the last component is Israel, Eretz Yisrael. The story of the Jewish people begins in Eretz Yisrael. It begins in Israel. The original Lech Lecha, Avraham Avinu was told, go to that land. That's the Eiver HaNahar. He's leaving everything behind from Ur Kazim, from Bavel, and he's going on that journey. But it's interesting, I once saw a Vort who points out, Ve'etein la'esav es harseir, V'yakov uvanov yardu Mitzrayim. There is a contrast here. In that same paragraph of Mitchila Ovde Avodah Zarah V'Achshav Kervanu Amakom La'Avodaso that describes the journey of Avraham Avinu going from Eiver HaNahar to V'Olech Oso B'chol Eretz Kanan, I gave Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Esav. I gave Va'etan la'Esav as Harsir, Seir la'Reshes also, V'Yaakov, Van of Yardu Mitzrayim. So I once saw in a Sefer somewhere, I don't know where this is, and this is a complicated part of the Seder, why did we go to Egypt in the first place? Why were we sent down there? It's a good question. So one suggestion from a literary point on this Diyuk in the Haggadah is that Esav says, look, Va'etan la'Esav as Harsir, he says, I want a Yerusha right away. I don't want to have to work and suffer to grow, to merit the land of Israel. The land of Israel is only going to come through Egypt. So Esav says, look, I'm out. I'm out. Esav out. Ve'etein la'Esav es harseir. Esav says, I'm not prepared to go down to Egypt, to go through that purification process, to be ready to settle the land of Israel. So just give me my Nachala right now. So that's why I didn't go down to Egypt. Because those two go together. The purifying process of going down to Egypt, that Bris Bein HaBesarim, who wants it? Does anybody want it? Yaakov Inu says, V'Yaakov Avanav Yardu Mitzrayim. Why? Because it was through that process of purification in Egypt that they were prepared to take ownership of Israel. If you're not prepared for Golas Mitzrayim, you're not going to be prepared for meriting Israel. And that's why Esav has no claim on the land, because he didn't go through the crucible of Egypt. Yaakov Vano Yordam Mitzrayim. And that's, of course, we say every time at the Seder, Lashana Haba, Ba'ar Di Yisrael, Lashana Haba, Yerushalayim. We start the Seder like that, and we end the Seder like that. We need to remember that this is one of those components that's got to come through at the Seder. There's the past, Avraham Avinu Va'olich, when the Haggadah says, Va'olich Oso B'chol Eretz Kanan, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, I don't know if the Daf Yomi folks got to this yet, that there's something called the King in Chazakah, Avraham Avinu walked through the land, he was Kona Eretz Yisrael by the
of
walking.
Of course.
You got that already?
Times.
You did it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it comes up constantly.
Walking,
yeah.
But we paskin, that's only once. Today, you can't be Kona by walking. Only Avraham Avinu was Kona by walking. But by walking through the land, he owned it. That's the history. That's the beginning of the story. Long before APAC, and long before the BDS question, Avraham Avinu, that was his. That's the history. And then there's the present. We have to remind people, this is our land. That's why we belong there. And then, that's also our future. And it's interesting that it's going to come back to that in the next paragraph. Of Baruch Shomer Haftachas Al Yisrael, what's the Haftachas, the Bris Bein Abisarim? At the end of the day, after this Golus, there's going to be a Geula. You're going to come back here. That's going to be the future. So we need to remember that at the end of the Seder, just like at the beginning of the Seder, L'shana Haba Ba'arad Yisrael, our commitment to the vision of the land of Israel, not just as past, but also present and future, also needs to be part of our Seder. So we spoke about the Jewish family, living the values that we transmit, the timelessness of Talmud Torah, the Exodus and the Smak, the Beis HaMikdash, big place in the Seder, the Emunah that we cultivate, Hashem's love for us, telling that Sipur, that story, and Israel. All of these are components of our Seder that have a past, present, and future. And I wish us all a Chag Kasher V'Sameach.